This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Canada will continue to look very closely at how we can make sure we're keeping Canadians safe while making sure we're taking advantage of great technologies that spur innovation and opportunity for people right across the country. We know the security, privacy, and the data protection of Canadians needs to be a first priority for us. We've already taken significant measures on that. We will continue to do that, but we will act in ways that are right for Canadians.
So that's the Prime Minister on Wednesday when he was asked, are you going to be banning TikTok? And didn't say. But certainly he was asked because the United States on Wednesday became a step closer to banning this app over security concerns. And so Biden signed the bill into law, which will then force TikTok's Chinese parent company, ByteDance, to sell the app within the year or they face the ban. And at the same time, this is all going down, Jagmeet Singh says, well, he's thinking of personally reactivating his account.
We're making a decision to be able to use the platform as a party. So our party has got back on the platform. And on my personal side, we're making that consideration of how to get back on in a safe way.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that wouldn't be safe unless China's not part of it. Like, so is Singh going to get rid of China? Right? And look, for a guy like Jagmeet Singh, he had 1 million followers on it. There's a value to it. But when they took the app off of government phones, well, it took some power away from the politicians. He's looking at putting it on his own phone now. But why would we not follow suit of our biggest ally? You know, especially when it's national security. What happens when we're the outlier? We're constantly the outlier with our allies. Let's bring in David Shipley to this conversation, CEO of Beauceron Security. Thanks for joining, David.
Happy to be here.
I feel like sometimes we're in a completely different orbit in this country, right? Where you've got the United States, and they're not joking around, but you got the United States banning TikTok or going out of their way to push it and make a call here. And then in this country, it's like, we'll see. Jagmeet Singh maybe reactivating his account.
Well, you have to understand that Canada is a child now when it comes to thinking about national security. We used to be adults. We used to be counted on the world stage as a major player. You know, we were part of the countries that defended important values, you know, democracy, freedom, Western civilization, capitalism. But now we're a bunch of overprivileged trust fund leaders who have coasted off of the greatest generation. And you know, it'd be nice. I heard a really good keynote last night by a former CTV anchor Steve Murphy, and, he's famous here in Atlanta, Canada. Mm-hmm. And Steve said something really powerful. It'd be nice if politicians just said the following things. I don't know. I'm not going to tell you. I am so done with the word salad that spills out of so much of the political class in this country.
Yeah, it's the verbal diarrhea talking points, and they make my skin crawl. They do, because they're the same talking points. They answer nothing, and it abdicates any kind of responsibility, right? Like, this is not about freedom of speech when it comes to TikTok. This is an issue of national security, and I don't know how we can possibly be aligned with our Five Eye allies, especially after all the other stuff, David, with the interference, the fact that we have not been pulling our weight, the fact that we've really ticked off our allies when it comes to national security, and they don't take us seriously. But if we now go our own way on this, I don't think we can.
Well, no, it continues to isolate us, and it continues to push us in the orbit of a Chinese Communist Party vassal state. Cool. That's not the country I want to be part of. No. And honestly, God, this is not rocket science. The publisher of a platform has the inherent ability to steer and influence the content. This has been known since time immemorial, whether it was radio, television, or newspaper.
Yeah, yeah.
Why, for some reason, we lose our minds that somehow some tech is ambivalent? It's not. The Chinese Communist Party uses TikTok to drive division in society. Why do you think anti-Semitism is at epidemic levels in generations that primarily consume quote-unquote news from social media?
Yeah, 100%. Like, why? Osama bin Laden became just a misunderstood resistor thanks to TikTok, right? Like, it's like, if 9/11 happened today, David, there'd be a whole generation cheering it.
Yeah, and you would have to be the dumbest of the dumb to think that a political process and an authoritarian regime in China would not use this as a long-term play. You'd have to be a moron. So they do. The Americans, I mean, honest to God, what does it take nowadays to get everyone from Trump to Biden, from the far right of the Republican Party to the far left of the Democratic Party on the same page on one issue? It could not be any clearer.
You would think, though, but people will say, well, look, it's freedom of expression. It's freedom of speech. It's how I make a living. And I'm thinking, okay, well, A, someone else should have developed one domestically, because I don't think a lot of people understand that China has this app and they don't even let the kid, like, people aren't allowed. It's not like the app here, right? They don't let their kids use the app there. Theirs is an educational app or indoctrination. We here are allowing it to just free flow propaganda and misinformation. But again, I don't even understand why no one has replaced this with a domestic property here.
Well, the problem is in social media, there's an effect called the network effect. And that is the first person to get the broadest mass of folks on there creates a moat that is extraordinarily difficult to displace, because no one wants to go to the loser bar. Everyone wants to go to the bar that's popular. And so you have that incumbency effect. And so it's even though technologically you could do a TikTok feature to feature and match it fairly easily in relative terms, getting people to switch from one bar to another is really hard. Pepsi, Coke, you know what I'm saying? Like, if you want to use different brand analogies, once you've got brand loyalty and network effect, it's a hell of a drug.
But then why aren't they held to account? Like, well, really, at some point, it's got to become like, ew, you're on that app? Like, right? Like, it's, ew.
Yeah, because but we are dealing with levels of media illiteracy on what I'm consuming. Like the folks who are claiming the freedom of expression argument here, you are the biggest useful idiots to the Chinese Communist Party I can possibly call out. And I'm being as blunt as I can be, because I just can't understand why we're not getting on to how bad this is. But here's the thing. Freedom of expression, freedom of speech means you're not going to get prosecuted by your government for saying unpopular things. That's the charter right. That's the American constitutional right. It doesn't mean that you have a limited access to fuel and contribute to efforts that undermine national security and social cohesion. But we can't act like adults anymore as a country, partly because, you know, the whole concept of us even acting as a nation requires us to have pride that we're Canadian, are a country.
Full of colonialists. Yeah. All right. I'm going to run out of time, David, but I appreciate your feist today. I really do. It's on another level.
You're very welcome.
Thank you. That's David Shipley joining us. And saying it like it is, right?
Hello, Dub Dub.
Hello.